step into the ring, the lights are shining bright. We're talking about the legends that put up a fight. From Macho Man to Hogan and the Warriors roar, we're breaking it down so you come back for more.
Hello. You have a collect call from
John Cena.
Will you accept the charges?
Welcome back to Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. Today we're stepping into the squared circle, where the stakes are as high as the body slams are heavy. With a global fan base exceeding 800 million, professional wrestling is more than just a sport. It's a cultural phenomenon that blends athleticism, storytelling, and spectacle. We'll dissect the evolution of wrestling from its carnival roots to a multi-billion dollar industry and explore the rise of legends from the nature boy Ric Flair to the modern day megastar Roman Reigns. So sit back, relax, and let us take you higher.
Question will be answered this Sunday night.
Face the bell.
WWE.
Welcome back to the Let Me Take You Higher podcast, where we explore the worlds that lie between the headlines. Today, we're diving into a world where the line between reality and entertainment is as thin as the ropes on a wrestling ring. That's right. We're talking about professional wrestling, a spectacle that has captivated audiences for over a century with its blend of athleticism, drama, and larger-than-life personalities. But while the fireworks and body slams may be thrilling, there's a darker side of the sport that we know. What can we talk about that is the equivalent of wrestling? It's really not boxing. It's really not football. It's definitely not soccer. But if we look at it, if we go deep into this, there's a darker side. And what we mean by this, guys, is it's a side that really can't be ignored. So grab your folding chairs and let's take a ringside seat. We're going to go higher on the world of wrestling, professional wrestling, as that is, and talk a little bit more deeper about it. I have with you guys today Mr. Gigi Luigi, who is an aficionado of wrestling. He's been looking at wrestling for probably as long as I have, really. Gigi, are you there?
Oh, I'm here, buddy. I'm pretty excited. This is going to be a fun topic to talk about. A huge wrestling fan, as you just stated. Yeah. Been watching it ever since as long as I can remember, honestly.
You've probably been watching it ever since day one, if I'm being actualized here. What I will tell you, though, the hot mic on this, guys, is professional wrestling, as we know it, began in the late 19th century, emerging from carnival sideshows, of course, where strong men would take on all comers. But it wasn't until the 1950s that the sport truly found its footing. Thanks to television, wrestling transformed from a legitimate athletic contest to a scripted form of entertainment, where outcomes were predetermined, but the physical demands were all too real. Gigi, let me know who that you know of was one of your favorite wrestlers.
Oh, one of my favorite wrestlers has got to be Eddie Guerrero. I just love watching him in the ring. He his whole story, like he had battled with drug addiction. He was fired from WWE, climbed his way back. His wife left. It was just like a crazy story, but he managed to climb his way back. And then they trusted him to put the title on him. And I know it's scripted and all, but like that's a big deal when they put that burden on you to like hold the title and like be the face of the company, essentially.
Right. I mean, the title is all lights on you. It's camera, lights, action. You're the guy. You can't really weasel out of it because it's all on you. But if you enter the golden age of the wrestling era, which was between the 1980s and the 1990s, when stars like Hulk Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage, and Coco Beware ruled the ring, these athletes weren't just wrestlers. They were performers, embodying the characters that became the cultural icons we know today. Who could forget Savage's gravelly voice, "Oh yeah!" that catchphrase, or Coco Beware's infectious energy and pet parrot Frankie. Actually, not Frankie. But beneath the glitz and the glamour lies a grueling reality. The life of a professional wrestler is marked by constant travel, physical pain, and all too often tragedy. For every thrilling WrestleMania moment, and we have a lot, there's a story of a wrestler who paid the ultimate price for that fame. The origins and evolution of wrestling is the history of professional wrestling is a tale of evolution. In the early 20th century, wrestling was still seen as a legitimate sport, with matches often lasting for hours. But as the audience appetite for drama grew, promoters began to script outcomes, turning wrestling into the sport we recognize today. Now, I remember, and I don't think you remember this, Gigi, when I was younger, there was a show called Inside Edition, and you guys out there might know what it is, but they kind of exposed wrestling for what it really is, basically scripted acting and performers who took on a role, kind of like your mom's novellas or Guiding Light or The Young and the Restless. It was that, but for guys. Do you remember that era at all, Gigi?
With Inside the Ropes, or what was it called?
Well, it used to be called, it was Inside Edition.
Yeah. I found a bunch of interviews later on. But no, not I don't remember that necessarily from when I was a kid now.
Okay.
But no, that's kind of like where they started to really pull back on what they call it kayfabe.
Yeah.
Where like it's like you basically keep everything, you know, story driven, even outside the ring, kind of live it in your personal life. If you're feuding with someone, you're not allowed to be seen with them because it's against kayfabe, it's against story, yes, and continuity, if you will.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like when they really first started like peel back and like wrestlers, as you said, like started really kind of like talking about what, you know, about the business as opposed to like how it used to be where it was like more of a lifestyle.
It's I mean, it's like when you take your job and you go home and you talk to your kiddos, you talk to your wife, the dog, and you're still in character for that job. The 1980s brought the wrestling boom with Vince McMahon, World Wrestling Federation, WWF, and now WWE, and then onward, leading the charge. This era gave us the larger-than-life personas we still celebrate today. It wasn't just about wrestling. It was about storytelling with heroes and villains playing out the epic battles that captivated millions. This was the era of Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, the eighth wonder of the world, and of course, the unforgettable, my personal favorite, Randy the Macho Man Savage. And I mean, this guy had six other personas, but we're going to stick with Randy Macho Man Savage. So let me ask you, Gigi, you, who was your ultimate favorite wrestler? I know you've, I think you may have touched on it, but can you dive a little deeper in it?
Why, like Eddie Guerrero and like why he's my favorite wrestler?
Oh yeah. Let's go for Eddie. Eddie was great.
He was so great. It was just like, so I took a, I used to watch wrestling a lot when I was a kid with my mom. Long story short, I, you know, my grandparents didn't like me watching wrestling. So for a while I stopped watching wrestling, wasn't allowed to watch it anymore. But then I found it on TV again by myself and I just started watching it. And the first episode that I had watched was Eddie Guerrero had just won the title. And it was right like the week after he had won the title and he was coming out into the crowd or from the crowd. And there was like confetti everywhere and the crowd was like, you know, chanting and like, it was just magical. And I instantly just like kind of fell for the antics and the character and, you know, the light, the cheat, the steal. Like, it's just, it was all fun. Like, it was hilarious.
It was our novellas back in the day. it was our Young and the Restless guiding light, all the great ones. But let me tell you that wrestling's history is filled with unforgettable characters. My favorite, of course, and we've talked about it, Randy Savage, with his flamboyant outfits and intense promos, was the embodiment of what made wrestling great, over the top, yet undeniably captivating. Coco Beware brought a charisma and athleticism, breaking barriers as one of the few African-American wrestlers to achieve mainstream success in the 80s. I'll go further, late 70s, early 70s, you had the Junkyard Dog, but I mean, I don't want to predate myself, but that's kind of what I used to listen to when I looked at. Do you have any other favorites out there, aside from Eddie Guerrero, who's amazing, by the way? He's an icon, but who else could you touch on besides Mr. Eddie Guerrero?
Oh, man, you got Shawn Michaels, you have The Undertaker, just to name a few. Yeah, honestly, if I had to pick a top, like my top five would be Eddie Guerrero. And this is in no order. Eddie Guerrero, Heartbreak Kid.
Yeah.
The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to say Steve Austin.
Yeah.
And, oh man, that's a hard one. Triple H.
Triple H is amazing.
I love his character. He's been like, he can do funny, serious. He can be the badass. He can be the cool character. He can just kind of be whoever you need him to be. And he's always a badass. Like,
and that's a beautiful thing about Triple H. Not only did he marry McMahon's daughter, he went on to run the WWE, and I think he still may have a part in it to this very day as they've changed hands. And, like, guys, I'll tell you that I think it's today the McMahon biopic comes out on Netflix. We are not associated with Netflix. We don't get any kind of, you know, kickbacks on Netflix. But I will tell you that it's probably going to be really, really interesting, really, really good. And I would tell you that all the biopics I've ever watched from wrestling, from Ric Flair to DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, to JT St. Roberts, they've all been great. But let me go a little bit deeper in this. We can't forget the darker stories. Wrestlers like Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, of course, Owen Hart remind us that behind the theatrics, these were real people facing real struggles. Many wrestlers have died far too young. often due to the physical and mental toll of that sport. Their legacy serves as a reminder that the world of professional wrestling, for all its entertainment value, can be a dangerous one. So what's the counterpunch on this, guys? What are we saying about professional wrestling? Are we beating up on professional wrestling? Absolutely not. But in entertainment value, professional wrestling is a unique blend of sport and theater. It's pure entertainment, offering fans a chance to lose themselves in the drama of it all. Athleticism, of course. Despite the scripted outcomes, the physical demands on wrestlers are immense. These are athletes at the peak of their abilities, performing stunts that require incredible strength, agility, and endurance. Now, the cultural impact, we can all tell you that if you're Black, white, Asian, European, whatever you want to call yourselves, the culture of wrestling has hit us all. Wrestling has given us some of the most memorable characters and moments in pop culture. Icons like The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, have transcended the sport, becoming household names, and even more than that. But there's a darker side. There's a con to this. And Gigi, let me know, man, what do you think that con might be? You've watched wrestling all your life, so have I. 800 million of us have. What's the con on the World Wrestling Federation? Not just them, but wrestling in general.
I'm watching you. That's exactly what The Undertaker told John Cena. But will he be able to take the belt from the mightiest champion in WWE history at this weekend's WWE Super?
So, Gigi, let me know what the cons of the sport may be. We know all the greats and what they did, but in the ring, what's the cons of being a professional wrestler?
Honestly, man, it's probably the biggest one's life on the road. You're constantly touring. You're wrestling, you know, multiple times a week for probably upwards to about an hour. You know, if you're like, you know, have a big name. So you're away from your family, which is always hard. That is always hard. Again, you don't rest, and if you don't wrestle, you don't get paid. So if you get injured, you rush yourself back, you know, under the influence of like painkillers to like, you know, numb the pain. And
yeah,
one thing leads to another. You develop an addiction there, and then the wrestling party lifestyle afterwards like doesn't help. Like a lot of people get hooked on alcohol at the same time. So it's just, there's so many demons that get involved in that lifestyle. So it's really hard to navigate, especially when you're so young. A lot of these young kids, they're, you know, next thing you know, they're on top of the world. You know, they can go out like, yeah, it's just crazy. You know, like how much attention and love they get, which good on them. They deserve it. Oh, but yeah, like sure. It gets to their head and it just gets crazy from there.
I mean, you, and I know you know Ric Flair, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Ric Flair, if you're out there, you know, we give you props. But he said he spilt more liquor than most people make in a year just on spilt liquor. So, I mean, that tells you everything you need to know about that time frame in American wrestling or American professional wrestling. But the history of professional wrestling is a tale of evolution. In the early 20th century, wrestling was still seen as a legitimate sport, with matches often lasting for hours. But as the audience appetite for drama grew, promoters began to script outcomes, turning wrestling into a sport and that we don't even really, I mean, well, pretty much we recognize today. You had Bobby Heenan, the Brain. You had Mr. Fuji. You had Paul Bearer, you know who Paul Bearer is. And basically in the 1980s, that brought along the wrestling boom with Vince McMahon, the World Wrestling Federation, WWF, now the WWE, leading the charge. This era gave us the larger-than-life personas we still celebrate today. It wasn't just about wrestling at the back then. It was about storytelling, with heroes and villains playing out epic battles that captivated millions. I mean, we're talking a lot of people who were a big part of this, okay? This was the era of Hulk Hogan, the eighth wonder of the world, Andre the Giant, and, of course, The unforgettable, my favorite, Macho Man Randy Savage, who went through like six different stages. And that guy never broke character. Just so you guys know, what you saw on television, in the interviews, in the ring, he carried over into his everyday life with Miss Elizabeth, which he married. He married Miss Elizabeth way before they were married in 1994. They were already married for, I believe, 6 to 10 years before they did the actual official wedding in the ring. So there's some scope for you guys. Some of the best figures in wrestling. Wrestling has a very rich history. It's usually a hereditary sport, which is passed down from father to son. And it's filled with unforgettable characters. Of course, Randy Savage, with his flamboyant outfits and intense promos, was the embodiment of what made wrestling great, over the top, and undeniably captivating. You had Coco Beware, who brought charisma, athleticism, breaking the barriers as one of the very few African Americans wrestling at that time to achieve mainstream success. I mean, I'll go even further. I'll go into the mid-70s, late 70s, with Junkyard Dog. Everybody liked the dog. You know, I mean, if you know who you know who you know. All right? But we can't forget the darker stories. Wrestlers like Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, and Owen Hart remind us that behind the theatrics, these were real people facing real struggles. Many wrestlers have died for too young, far too young, and often due to the physical and mental toll of the sport. Their legacies serve as a reminder that the world of professional wrestling, for all its entertainment value, can be a dangerous one. And I will segue just slightly on Mr. Benoit and his family. May they rest in peace, and condolences to him, his family, and everyone who was associated with that. But, and I think you had mentioned it one time in our private speaking about CTE and its toll on wrestlers. What do you think about that, Gigi? What is, I mean, those concussions, man, that's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, like, especially in Benoit's case, you know, yeah. I'm no expert, but I've heard that, you know, from reports that his brain was identical to, like, an 80-year-old Alzheimer's patient.
Wow.
Like, his brain was pretty much like Swiss cheese. Like, we didn't know, like, through the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, all the way up until, like, the early 2000s, we didn't know much about CTE, concussions, brain trauma, like,
I mean, no one even spoke about it. We didn't even know about CTE, aside from the football. Aside from football telling us what that really does to people.
And we didn't really even know much about it in football. It was really the Chris Benoit incident that kind of highlighted it throughout all professional sports.
Yeah.
So, like, it was... That was just a tragedy in itself. And, you know, you do have other instances where, like, people have, like, essentially gone brain dead, you know, yeah. From pro wrestling. They said that the diving headbutt that Chris Benoit used to do,
yeah,
it had a life expectancy, because most people would, like, you know, die of some sort of head injury because you're slamming your face into the ground.
I mean, good grief.
Yeah. It's insane.
And that's the crazy part about that whole situation. And guys, we are not, and let me take you higher, taking them from what Chris Benoit did. It was tragic. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to go into a deep scope on it. Just because, you know, our audience is listening. They're from different kinds of ages. But CTE is a real thing, man. And I've seen it in action. And people who came out the football field, some of my friends had it. I mean, relatives. I mean, it's crazy. But let me go into the counterpunch on this, guys. The pros and the cons of this sport, which we deem as entertainment. Professional wrestlers is a unique blend of sport and theater, okay? It's pure entertainment, of course, offering fans a chance to lose themselves in the drama of it all, right? It's got great athleticism. You can't just be anybody and jump into a ring. You got to really work towards this goal. You got to really work out and take care of your body, right? But despite the scripted outcomes, the physical demands on wrestlers are immense. These are athletes at the peak of their abilities, performing stunts that require incredible strength, agility, and endurance. And let me let you know, guys, the cultural impact that wrestlers have on everybody's daily lives. And remember, there's 800 million of us out there. It's 800 million fans. Wrestling has given us some of the most memorable characters and moments in pop culture. Icons like The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin, 316, with beers, we love Steve Austin, have transcended the sport, becoming household names. Now, the cons of this game, and there's always something you can look on, right, guys? Physical toll. Constant physical strain, coupled with a brutal travel schedule, which GT alluded to, leads to injuries that can have lifelong consequences. Guys, lifelong consequences. Really let that sink in. Many wrestlers suffer from chronic pain and turn to substance to cope. Now, I'm not sure if you guys are aware of this. Owen Hart. You know what I'm talking about? Gigi, now you remember Owen Hart, right?
Of course.
So, do you remember the night that he passed away?
I don't remember the night that it like happened. Like, I don't, okay. Like, I don't, it's not like I remember on 9/11 where I was. I knew exactly where I was, but on 9/11.
We all do, yeah.
I know the night you're talking about, though, like, right. How he fell from, he was like clipped in, like, ascend from the ceiling or of the arena. Yeah. As some kind of like superhero gimmick, but then like it had like a quick release, so he could unhook very quickly. That as soon as he like pretty much kicked off, it like unhooked itself and he fell like I think it was like 80 feet down into the ring.
Roughly about 80 feet. Yeah. I mean, broke his neck, snapped. I mean, now remember, guys, Owen Hart was the brother of Bret the Hitman Hart, and he showed him, you know, the ropes. That was his brother. So it was tragic. But aside from the Owen Hart situation, there's been many more situations, especially in the ring. But what I would tell you is mental health is a con for this sport. The pressures of fame, the physical toll, and the scripted nature of the sport can lead to significant mental health issues, including depression and anxiety. Let's not forget the untimely deaths of many of our favorite superheroes that wore the tights in the ring. The list of wrestlers who have died young is alarmingly long, often due to drug overdoses, of course, suicide, or accidents. The dark side of the sport is stark, and in contrast to the spectacle that we see on TV. But, guys, in any job you do, any profession, there's always going to be that, right? You never know. So let's look into our playing the devil's advocate. So, for a moment, is professional wrestling a celebration of human resilience and creativity, or is it an exploitative industry that chews up its stars and spits them right out? Some might argue that the scripted nature of wrestling diminishes its value as a sport, turning athletes into mere entertainers. On the other hand, the very spectacle that critics deride is what makes wrestling so beloved. It's a form of art where the ring is the stage and the wrestlers are the actors. But at what cost? And Gigi, you know, because you're a super wrestler fan. More so than I am, but super wrestler fan. You know that more than anybody, really, because you've seen a lot of your superheroes, some of your wrestling people that you were really, really into, like Eddie Guerrero, died at such a very young age under strange circumstances. Who else do you realize or that you know of that have passed away in wrestling that you actually really were a fan of?
Oh, I mean, you have like the recent passing of Bray Wyatt and Brody Lee. Yeah. Like they both, you know, passed away very young. Mm-hmm. Oh shoot, who else?
You had Yokozuma. I just know Yokozuma.
Yokozuma.
Yeah.
Owen Hart, Eddie Guerrero. Sadly, like it sucks the whole Chris Benoit situation.
There's been, I mean, guys, there's just been so many. If you look up, there's, I think there's a wrestling fan page, and I don't know the name of it, but we'll probably put it in our bio. And it just gives you the whole layout of all the people who have died just the, I mean, just within the last, what, 25, 30 years. And it's mind-boggling. I mean, I think, and we have lost a couple of wrestlers this year, but for the majority's sake, they were a little older, like in their 70s, maybe some of their 80s. Look at Ric Flair. Ric Flair's not dead. He's a major boy. That he don't die. He's around forever. But he's even getting a little bit older than him. I think he's in his 70s. But let's do a deep dive in this, guys. A day in the life of a pro wrestler, what's it look like? To be a professional wrestler, guys, imagine a life like this, where you are constantly on the road performing 300 nights a year. That's 300 out of 365. With little time for rest, your day starts with a grueling workout to maintain peak physical condition. Then it's off to the arena, where you'll spend hours rehearsing your match, perfecting the moves and sequences that will wow the crowd. The match itself is a mix of athleticism and improvisationism. You might know the outcome, but everything else is fluid. One wrong move can lead to injury or worse. After the match, it's back on the road, heading to the next city for another night in the ring. And if you're Andre the Giant, you didn't like to fly. You had to drive. Andre the Giant did not like flying. And when he was on a plane, it was sedatives galore and a lot of beer. But after that match, it's back on the road, of course, heading to the next city for another night in the ring. The constant physical toll, coupled with the pressure to maintain a larger-than-life persona, can be overwhelming. For many wrestlers, the line between their in-ring personas and their characters, that guys, they scripted these characters to the T. They know who their fans are, what they need to do. But in real life, that becomes blurred, leading to struggles with identity and mental health. So the higher point here, guys, professional wrestling is a spectacle. That's equal parts art, sport. It's a world where athletes become heroes and villains, and they flip-flop sometimes. Where every match is a story told through a physicality and an emotion. But it's also a world with a dark side. A reminder that behind the glitz and the glamour, there are real people paying a heavy price for our entertainment. The higher point here, guys, is to appreciate wrestling for what it is, a unique form of entertainment, but also to recognize and address the challenges faced by those who live it every day. Gigi, I mean, I know you agree with this, because we've seen wrestlers on TV who were, in one moment they were in New York, and the next moment they were in LA. So, I mean, and this was back in the day, this is all the time, and they were always on the move. There was no boundaries. No bumpers, no buffers. Did you ever think about that when you were a kid? Like, God, I just saw that guy in New Hampshire, and now he's in San Diego, and it was just 24 hours ago. What did you think about that back when you were growing up?
Oh, yeah, that used to blow my mind, to be completely honest with you. Like, I was like, you always have to be in the airport at that point, kind of living your life on the road, because there is no going home. There's, you know, you're kind of living in hotels and, you know, whatever food you end up getting through catering or whatever at the event or venue. So, yeah, no, that was something as a kid that always kind of like stood out to me. And the other thing is just like how monstrous they must have been as people. Because on TV, you know, are next to each other, they all look kind of like the same size. But then when you see them in person, it's like, oh my gosh, no wonder he's 300 pounds.
It's crazy. And the crazy thing about this is, Gigi, that these guys never broke. I mean, it's very rare they broke character. So, I mean, like Randy Macho Man Savage, he was Randy Macho Man Savage 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365, all the time, always on. Hulk Hogan very rarely ever breaks character. Andre the Giant, when he was alive, never broke character. So you're always this intense, over-the-top, crazy individual, because that's, you know, that's wrestling. And you're always that guy. You're always on, except for when you're in your home with your family and your kids. And even sometimes then you're still that person. I mean, if you think about it, these guys were always on the mark, on cue, ready to rock and roll. But guys, from the golden age of Macho Man Randy Savage to the present day professional wrestling that continues to evolve, captivating fans around the world. But as we cheer for their next big match, let's not forget the toll it takes on all those that are in the ring. After all, every hero has scars. Even some heroes that aren't even labeled have scars. So, Gigi Luigi, what's your take on the art and the reality of professional wrestling?
Oh, man, it's such a crazy blend because, like, the reality is, like, the intensity of the movements, the moves, yeah, the slams, the submission holds and the transitions between like holds, all that is like so intense. And the more intense it is, the more real the match feels. But it is mixed with a lot of, like, as you said, acting. Now, acting goes into, like, you know, the promos, the, you know, basically the shit talking before the match, the story that gets built into it. And like the in-ring psychology, because like if you're just wrestling, like that's one thing. But you do want to work the crowd. You do want to have your time and
yeah,
you know, build the crowd up. Like a wonderful quote that I heard from somebody talking about Eddie Guerrero. He had somebody in a headlock. No, vice versa. He had somebody put him in a headlock for so long, and the crowd was getting like kind of like what's going on? Like that's how long he was in the headlock. And it's crazy because like the whole concept of that is like in order to bring them up, you first have to bring them down. So his whole thing was like, yeah, we'll give them something exciting, and then we'll give them something that like brings the whole feel down for a little bit, and then boom, 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 boom. Now it's more exciting. It's like, oh right, my God, like they take you for a little ride. So yeah, that acting aspect of it, like that right there is. It blends well again with reality because you're sitting on the edge of your seat like, oh my gosh, like this is insane.
And which it was. I mean, Eddie Guerrero was your favorite. Randy Macho Man Savage is my favorite. I mean, but they had some of the best matches. I'll tell you, Randy Macho Man Savage and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat from either WrestleMania 3 or 4. Sometimes I forget. But that was the best scripted match ever. And Randy Macho Man, and you and I have talked about it, he was always chasing that match. When you're really good at your sport and you know what you're supposed to be doing, you're always trying to improve and get better. But sometimes you reach that peak and you just can't go past it. You know what I mean? So, but guys, thank you for joining us at Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. I am, of course, Mr. Villain. And my co-host, is Gigi Luigi. We're so happy to have you. Guys, if you have any questions, you want to make a remark, or let us know if we messed up something, or you want to put something else into the show, you can always reach us at letmetakeyouhigherpodcast@gmail.com. We have multiple handles on TikTok, X, which is formerly Twitter, Facebook. You can find us anywhere. Thank you for being our professional wrestling hosts out there. And we love doing this because we are true professional wrestling fans, guys. Thank you so much and have a great rest of your night. And we love it. And we'll be back next week. Thank you so much.
And goodbye to anyone standing in John Cena's way. When it takes a six-man in a steel cage shoots and ladders match at WWE Zoom Super Slam. Order now and save $10 for the low price of just $49.99.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. Big thanks to our special guests and a huge shout out to our incredible sponsors. You guys are literally the wind beneath our podcast wings. Remember, this show was dreamed up and brought to life by yours truly, Mr. Villain. And it's all made possible by BC Entertainment LLC, a proud subsidiary of Big Cheddar Music LLC,
All rights are reserved by BC Entertainment, so don't even think about touching that dial without permission. Until next time, keep your minds elevated and your vibes higher. This is Mr. Villain signing off. Stay tuned, stay sharp, and stay forever gifted and lifted.
Unfold.